Blog Talk Radio.
This is Talking Brick with Mayor John Ducey.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. The phones are open. If anybody wants to call in and ask a question or share your thoughts about our great town, the phone number in order to make the call is 347-426-3543. And as usual, I'm going to start off with a couple of announcements. Reminder that the Brick Farmers Market is going on every Saturday at Windward Beach from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. There are only three left, and the market is going to return for one final time at our Bricktoberfest event on October 3rd. So it's the next three Saturdays, and then also October 3rd. And, of course, it'll be back next year. Next year we're going to start it a little bit later so we can go deeper into the season. So instead of, I think this year we started right around the 1st of April, we're going to push that back to probably mid-May or maybe even late May. And that allows us to go, because of our grant, allows us to go a few weeks later, which would be good because in the fall we all know we get mums and pumpkins and gourds and all that stuff. So that's one of the feedback we got from walking around at the Brick Farmers Market. And, of course, we want to make it better, and it's a great suggestion. And we heard it from a number of people, and we're definitely going to make that change for next year. But this year we have three left, and then the Bricktoberfest date on October 3rd. This Friday night, it's our final Summerfest drive-in, and it features Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's at Windward Beach. The gates open at 6 o'clock, and the movie begins at dusk. And it's a great event. You drive your car right onto the grass there at Windward Beach, and you turn on your radio to a certain radio station, which is usually 90.9, but it does change sometimes. And you're able to hear the movie right from the interior of your car, like the old days in the 50s and 60s and 70s when people used to go to a drive-in movie. Or if you want, you can get out of your car or just park in a normal lot and bring some chairs and blankets, and you can hear the audio right up by the screen. I'd like to thank all of our sponsors for Summerfest, including Pine Belt Motors, Walmart, CME Engineers, and iMac Insurance. I want everyone to know that registration for the Bricktoberfest 5K and Fun Run is now underway. The race is Saturday, October 3rd at Windward Beach. The pre-registration is $25 for the 5K, $10 for the one-mile fun run. It's going to be $5 more the day of the race, so there's no reason not to register early and save yourself $5 because you can spend it at the farmer's market that day. Just like last year, I will be donating $5 to a local charity for every runner that crosses the finish line before me. Bricktoberfest, after the 5K race, we have the farmer's market that's going to be going on, and then we have the food trucks, the beer and wine garden, rides. And this year we have bands, and they're basically local bands that are going to play for free because they want to showcase their talents so that people hopefully hire them for parties and things like that. And one of the local bands is actually the Sea Dogs, which is a bunch of our Brick lifeguards. So it's going to be an exciting event. We also have a DJ in between the bands. And then what we're going to wrap up with that night is a bonfire down on the beach of Windward Beach. And part of that, we're going to have the sports teams from our two high schools sit in certain sections, and we kind of announce them. Okay, over here we have the Brick Township Dragon football team. Over here we have the Brick Memorial cross-country team, and all the different fall sports are going to be part of that bonfire event to make it a great community event. The town craft fair and yard sale is at Windward Beach on Saturday, September 26th. It's $20 for a yard sale spot and $40 for a craft fair spot. Call 732-262-1075 for more information or to get the application in order to be able to sell your wares there. My guest today is Robert Stefanelli of the Brick Township Code Enforcement Department. And at first, before I get to Mr. Stefanelli, I'd like to thank Karen. She's a resident who contacted us and suggested that we do a show focusing on code enforcement. If you would like to hear a specific topic addressed, please email us, call us, or reach out to us on Facebook or Twitter, and we'll, we're always looking for ideas for shows. So tonight we do have Robert or Bob Stefanelli, if that's all right.
That's okay.
And just tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do here for the town.
Yeah, my name is Robert Stefanelli. I'm a code official for the Township of Brick. I started like 13 years ago. I started in our construction department, which is our in-house construction department. And from there, I was offered to become a code enforcement, and been doing it ever since 2010.
Okay, what is do you have something that's called a normal day, or what's a typical day, or
lately,
however you want to describe it?
It hasn't been lately, Mayor. We're extra busy right now. We're still dealing with a lot of the Sandy damage that people are dealing with. We're dealing with the abandoned property list right now, the foreclosed list. And then the regular everyday, you know, inspections, CO inspections, which we do for people when they decide they're going to move into a place. And we go in there to make sure that it's safe. That's our main focus, is to make sure that, you know, our tenants and residents are safe in this town. And that's normally what we try to focus on.
Okay. Now, I know a lot of people out there think basically our code enforcement officers, you guys are driving around town and you're looking for people with long grass. And I know that's not the case,
but I
have to ask the question. So.
Yeah, no, we don't do that, Mayor. I mean, if we see it where it's, you know, where it sticks out like a sore thumb, the only reason why we send that is not because we really want to bother people about tall grass, but when you have tall grass, you have ticks. If you get real hot weather, the grass is dry, somebody could flick a cigarette on it, you could have a fire. I mean, there's all kind of things that, you know, that could happen with tall grass. It's just not, you know, an ugly sight. There's some safety issues with that.
Okay, and I know since I became mayor, we've kind of changed the system of how we do things. It's not really a patrol. It's more of a complaint-based.
Yeah, we used to ride around, and, you know, we used to, you know, patrol our areas. But, you know, in the times that we're at and we're in right now, it's we're too busy for that. We're preoccupied, like I said, with dealing with a lot of other issues in the town. Code enforcement kind of gets involved in zoning, building. We do a little bit of everything. But if we do see something on our way to a call or a complaint that comes in, whether it be email, over the website or whatever, residents call in, you know, we go out and we always, you know, check out the complaints and take whatever action is necessary to be taken to get that complaint, you know, complied.
Okay. Now, how many people are in the code enforcement department?
Right now we have 3 full-time inspectors, and then we have 1 part-time inspector that comes in 2 or 3 times a week, depending upon his schedule.
And how is the town, is it divided up between the 4 of you?
We used to split it up into 4s, but now we have it split up into 3rds. And we know we'll take a section. Normally in the morning, the first thing that we take care of is any phone calls that came in from maybe the night before or early that morning before we arrive. We try to call back the residents as soon as possible. This way, before we hit the road, if there's something that we can, you know, get to before we do our other normal CO inspections for the day, we take care of that. And then, like I said, we start our CO inspections and we go on from there.
Okay. Now, you guys deal with like anonymous calls?
Yes, a lot of them.
Okay.
Anybody can call in. Everybody can be anonymous if they want. You know, it doesn't matter. Some people would prefer to be, because normally when the calls come in, Mayor, it's usually a neighbor that's happens to be looking over into the other neighbor's yard or whatever. And, of course, you know what, you don't want to create problems between neighbors.
Okay. I'm just going to actually cross over. We got a few questions that were submitted on Facebook today that I know we have to answer. And it's not really dealing with code enforcement, but other issues. So I'll get to that, and I'll get right back to you.
Okay.
There's Brad, who says, we do not need a quick check gas station. And then I guess he also wrote, or anything else for that matter. With regards to that, the property owners, they have a right to sell their property and develop the property. We can't just say no to something just because we may not like it. Now, there's certain things that we have zoned out in town. You know, there's actually, zoning rules in town where, you know, in the middle of a neighborhood, you can't throw up, you know, a business. But beyond that, if it's private property, people are allowed to develop it. There's a number of people in the country and actually in the town who that's kind of the way they invested their money. They invested their money in property in order that they can sell it one day for a profit. And the only way we'd be able to stop it is if the town bought anything that doesn't have anything on it. So meaning if the town had unlimited amounts of funds, we could just buy every piece of property if we wanted to stop development from happening there. And obviously we don't have unlimited amount of money because everybody knows where that money comes from, and that's everybody's wallet because it's to pay for taxes. So people would not want their taxes to go up to have the town buy every empty lot. So, you know, I know there's an interest of, I guess, an application before our planning board, or maybe the board of adjustment, one or the other, one of the boards, about a quick check gas station at the corner of 70 and Brick Boulevard, where the Crown Bank, and there's a tile store there. And I guess that's probably where the question came from. Next question, Debbie says she was asked to leave Brick Beach 1 earlier today because of a gas leak and wonders why. And the answer is there was a ruptured gas line in the neighborhood just north of Brick Beach 1. So the beach was evacuated briefly just for safety, and once everybody it was cleared, everybody was allowed back on to enjoy our beach. We, of course, want everybody to be safe. That's first and foremost. Actually, Robert Stefanelli just talked about that, how we want our residents to be safe. And this is one example. It didn't have to do with code enforcement, but we obviously want everybody to be safe. Brian is concerned about speeding on Midstreams Road and wants to know what can be done about it. Basically, it's a county road, so as far as the actual speed limit itself, that would be set by the county. But what we can do is I can let the traffic safety know here, and they will send out a special enforcement type team, and we'll try to slow everybody down over on Midstreams Road. So when you see things like that, if you can, you can call our office or you can call the police directly and let people know that they're speeding. I know that we get a lot of those calls already, but if you see it on some different roads where I haven't heard of Midstreams before, I've heard of Jordan and Princeton, but not Midstreams. So just please let us know about it. We do let traffic safety know, and they usually step up the enforcement to try to get people to, you know, get down back down to the speed limit. But one thing is that interesting that they do find, though, is when people do complain, and not so much of Midstreams. I know that's more of a major road, but sometimes it's some of the more side roads, and they say, you know, people are speeding on it, and what ends up happening, it ends up being the residents themselves who live right on that street are the ones who actually are the ones getting the tickets for speeding. So it's just, you know, it's interesting the way sometimes that works. Gabrielle wants to know why Coming to America is played during fireworks and What a Wonderful World is no longer played at the end of Summerfest. Misses those traditions. We just try to modernize and have the fireworks show be for all ages. Coming to America, I don't really know that we do play that still, but if we do, we do. What a Wonderful World, actually, I don't remember that being played at all, but perhaps it was at one point. And I know this year we had changed the music a couple different times. There was different music for the first show, and the second show, and then the third and fourth were actually the same. But we're trying to, you know, just keep things fresh. We get a lot of suggestions from our Brick Youth Club of the type of music that they'd like to hear, which is important because I want to have people of all ages having a great time during Summerfest. Ian Mulligan says a new park is needed in Cedar Bridge Manor. What's going on is the state rules prohibit bulkheading. So as you may have known, Cedar Bridge Manor Association had owned a park that's right on the water there. It's behind the American Legion, if you're, you know, on the other side of the water from the American Legion. And I guess at some point, I'm not sure if it was Sandy or I think it was before Sandy, the erosion had started, and obviously Sandy made it worse, and the playground had to be taken down. Efforts in that park, it's going to be focused on addressing all of the erosion issues, and the park is just going to be a passive park. So it is still a park. It's a park that can be used. There's no playground or anything, and there's no plans of ever replacing a playground there. It's going to be a passive park because we really have to deal with the erosion issues, and we're trying an erosion technique at a different park in town, and the name of it escapes me. I want to say Bayside, and I know it's not Bayside, but it's Bay Harbor Park, Bay Harbor Beach Park. We're doing it's a different system rather than bulkheading, and the state, we want to see if it works first before we spend money somewhere else. But that's what we're going to be doing. And then once we do get that erosion problem, you know, fixed, we will work on the grass and everything else over that way to make it look nice, but it's definitely just going to be a passive park in that area. But please go to all of our, you know, more, you know, pocket parks or the more major parks such as Windward Beach and Trader's Cove. Okay, now getting back to Robert Stefanelli. I don't know if you have any, I don't want to hear the exact addresses, but if you have any interesting stories that you've encountered in being a code enforcement officer here in town.
Every day is an interesting story, Mayor. The one thing that we're finding a lot of now and is with all this work that was done from Sandy, sometimes when we go in to do a CO inspection, something of that nature, before we go to that property, knowing that it was in the storm damaged area, we usually look up the property to see what type of permits were obtained or, you know, anything that was pulled on this property. And sometimes when we look it up, you know, there was new HVAC systems put in, water heaters put in, things of that nature, and there were no permits. And, you know, when we advise the people of that, you know, we tell them that it's, you know, it's better for them to come in, you know, immediately to apply for the permits due to the fact of, God forbid, if something happened, Mayor, you know, these insurance companies today are looking for any reason not to pay. And, of course, we can't do the CO inspection right away because, you know, these permits have to be put in. We have to make sure they're, once again, you know, inspected and safe.
All right. Let me ask you a question about what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, for example, I put in a new furnace in my house.
Right.
And my contractor never gets the permit, so there's never any inspections.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say, unfortunately, that furnace catches on fire, burns my house down.
Yeah.
Is my insurance company going to be paying me?
I don't think so, Mayor. Well, right now, after the money they've laid out with Sandy, I guess they're looking for any little thing not to pay, and it would be a shame for that to happen to somebody.
Okay, and... Let's talk about. I mean, a lot of people have the wrong idea, and I just want to kind of, you know, straighten out the record.
Yes.
That people think that code enforcement is just out there trying to make money for the town, and they're all about finding people and collecting money in municipal courts. So can
Mayor,
you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, maybe in the past it was that way. Some guys, I guess, were a little aggressive. I know as far as what I do every day is, if I can help somebody. I feel a lot better about doing that than sometimes, yes, we do have to take, you know, a little more advanced precautions and measures to get people to comply. But I'd rather help people out. You know, it's just a lot better. Even sometimes when we do take people to court, if you're fair with them and you're honest with them, they wind up thanking you, you know, because you basically are doing them a favor, you know. And that's my job. Like I said, it's all about safety and yeah, like I said, as far as the riding around and looking for stuff, that's a thing of the past. And we're all kind of happier with that, the way it's being run now.
Okay, now, let's say I'm a resident and I have a person next to me that is, let's say running a business out of their house. Mm-hmm. At least I think they are.
Right.
So what would I do? Where would I call? What's the number?
Well, normally the first thing they do is, you know, of course they call the code enforcement department and they speak with our secretary, Lisa. They give her the complaint. Lisa types it up and she puts it into an RFA form, which that makes everybody aware of what we did to take care of that problem, how long it took us to take care of the problem, what measures we needed to do to, you know, to get it complied. We go out, we investigate it, you know, we take our photos, you speak to maybe some of the neighbors sometimes, also sometimes even speak to the people that are in question about running this business out of their property. Some businesses are okay to run out of the house as long as there's, you know, no trucks, big signs in front of the house, things of that nature, which is creating any kind of a traffic nuisance. But you are allowed to have an office in your house. As long as you're not parking any type of commercial vehicles, which are over the 8,000 gross vehicle weight, you know, things of that nature. Like I said, as long as it doesn't become a nuisance to the neighborhood, we're okay with that.
Okay. Just a reminder to everybody, the phone lines are open, so please call in. Obviously, I'm sure you're willing to take a phone call.
Sure,
if
yes.
One does come in,
yep,
and of course
I'm here
I am.
For Mayor.
Phone number is 347-426-3543. You can also post them on Facebook. Just want to talk about a little bit about the meeting last night. We had this meeting once a year. We go out to the Normandy Beach Association.
Right.
And there was a number of things on the agenda. It was to... A lot of things were just very routine yesterday, but it was a large agenda, There was talking about grant agreements and cancellation of grants, appropriated reserves, authorization to bid, and that's improvements to Lake Riviera Park, which is big. Lake Riviera is a section in town that the park hasn't been redone in a long while, and we were planning on doing it a little bit earlier in the year, but unfortunately, the pool, which was filled in back in maybe the 60s or 70s, I'm not sure if anybody remembers exactly when, back then you didn't have to test for the fill. So the DEP said we need to do some testing there, make sure the fill is okay before you go ahead and build a park above it. And we got the final approval from DEP, and we were able to go out the bid, and so that job should be going out fairly soon. We do have Sean on the phone with a code enforcement question.
Hey, Sean, how are you? Robert Stefanelli.
Good. How are you?
Good.
And what is your question, Sean?
The question is, I have neighbors that are feeding feral cats, and they're using my yard as a litter box, and they are actually destroying property in my yard also.
Okay. Well, we do have an ordinance against that, and also we do have an organization where we do have the catch and neuter and release program, which is done through Madeline Ivron with the rec center. You can call my number at any time. If you want to be anonymous, I'll give it to you right over there, which is 732-262-1079, and I'll be glad to help you out with that, Sean.
Okay, because we have actually called the place in Howell where they have been trapping them, the A Academy, I think it is, and they have been trapping them, but there's still a couple that are running around, and they are destroying property, like I said, and my daughter can't go outside and play because they're using the yard as a litter box, and there's stuff all over.
Jeez. Yeah, I can imagine. All right, you know what? If you want, you know what? Take this number down, Sean. I have your number right here. What I'm going to do is I'm going to call you tomorrow. I start at 8 o'clock, but I'm usually in by 7 o'clock because we're busy. I'll definitely call you tomorrow, and we'll talk, you know, off the air about this, especially if you want to be anonymous. And I'm sure we get this taken care of for you, Sean.
Okay, because I have been to the town, and we were trying to call the check with the Board of Health, I guess, or something. They said that the town didn't have one, so they said the code enforcement. I did talk to the mayor's secretary, and she gave me her number, and we're just – and like I said, you know, like I don't want anything to happen to him, but I can't have him using my yard as a litter box and destroying property.
Of course. Yeah, I do understand.
And your name
that.
Again?
Is Robert Stefanelli. As far as the Board of Health, there is certain things that they do take care of as far as animals and things of that nature. And they don't get involved in that. They'll come out if there's a bad owner that permeates their residence and things of that nature. They'll come out and they'll investigate it. Sometimes you work hand in hand with them, you know, in different matters. But as far as this, I know the right people to go to, and I will definitely call you tomorrow. We'll definitely get this squared away.
Okay. Thank you very much. And I have another number.
It's a pleasure talking to you. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much.
1079. That's my direct line, Sean.
Thank you very much for calling in, Sean.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Anybody else with any questions, please call 347-426-3543. It could be about code enforcement. Obviously, Robert Stefanelli is here with me tonight. It could be on any topic as well, and I'll try to field it. If I don't know the answer, I don't know the answer to everything, and I'm not afraid to admit that. So if I don't know the answer, I'll tell you. I'll call you back tomorrow, or it might even take me a couple of days, depending on the question. So out at the beach last night, a lot of the questions were about the Army Corps project. And the Army Corps project is going to add 200 feet of sand in front of the wall, which we have in brick, the steel revetment, and it's also going to cover that steel revetment. So we're looking forward to that project happening as soon as possible. There's been many delays. The cause for the longest delay is the fact that Bayhead hasn't signed any easements, and the town themselves has not given any permission for the state to do eminent domain proceedings. And then there's Point Pleasant Beach. The owners of some of the private beaches up there have sued, saying they don't want the project to go forward. Based upon that, more recently, and it's been more like probably the end of July, beginning of August, the DEP has decided that and has talked the Army Corps into actually sectioning off the project. They're going to go out to bid in what they call the southern section, which includes Manaloking and everything south. And then as a what they call an alternate is going to be Bayhead and Point Pleasant. The reason why they're doing it that way is because they can start quicker. It's a 700-day contract to begin with. So it's a very long contract from beginning to end. It's 2 years. So the thought process is they start in the two focused areas are Manaloking and Brick because we have the least amount of sand and the smallest beaches, and we have that investment that the state made of $35 million for the steel wall. So they're going to do us first and then work their way south. And then when they're finished with that, in the meantime, they're going to be working out these issues with Bayhead and with the private beach owners in Point Pleasant Beach, and they should be able to do that within that year, year and a half period while the rest of the project's being done, and then the company can go right into finishing it up. So that was a very hot topic last night. Everybody wanted to know what the latest update was, so I figured we told everybody at the meeting, but everybody doesn't watch the meeting, so it's good to get it out in this way, too, to get some extra people hearing about it. Going back to code enforcement, I get a lot of different calls in the mayor's office, and just to give people a range of things to do, besides the COs and the rental COs and people without the permits, I get everything from tree branches or growing over a fence. I get some people have a race car in their backyard. Some people are illegally renting homes, without even owning the home. There's brush and debris and gutters, all sorts of things. Like, can you give us more examples of different things, different issues you have to deal with?
Another one this year, which we're getting a lot of, is infestation of raccoons, squirrels, things of that nature. And the problem with that is it's wildlife. Right now, these raccoons are running rampant, Mayor. We've never seen it like this before. As far as code enforcement officers, there's nothing that we can really do about it. We were told now that the best thing to do, if there's a problem as far as raccoons, is to call, maybe the police will guide you in the right direction as far as that goes. Animal control really doesn't come out and trap them. And it's sad because once they're in your house, it's basically your problem. And you can't stop it. I mean, it just seems like this year there's an overabundance of it because they're looking for places to hide. I mean, we've never seen, like I said, this many. A lot of the problems are, and we're dealing with these abandoned properties, is when people left them, you have gable vents on the side of their house that's open, the soffits are broke, and these animals are just looking for a home. And, unfortunately, a lot of these abandoned homes are embedded in with a lot of nice areas, and it's just a time we're in right now. But we're working on that. We do have the property maintenance board that we meet once a month. And these are the homes that we take, to the property maintenance board. And who's ever involved in it, we sit them down and we explain, what they need to correct all these problems. You bring this house up to code, take care of whatever violations are involved, or normally we wind up in court. We deal with a lot of the preservation companies that are maintaining these properties. We're on them, because some do a good job and some not such a good job. We've been getting a lot of complaints about that. So we're on it, Mayor. Like I said, it's just so much. We do the best that we can. Because I know I wouldn't want to live next to it myself. And so we do feel, any way we can help somebody, that's what we're there for.
Yep. And those type of abandoned properties, they're in every single neighborhood. It doesn't matter if it's if it's an older section of town or a brand new section of town, there's still some abandoned homes. And a lot of that has to deal with, with the newer properties, is people who, maybe got in over their head with a mortgage and then couldn't afford it and either went bankrupt or decided they couldn't afford the mortgage anymore and just walked away from the homes. I know recently the council passed a resolution to go out the bid for the demolition of house on South Beverly Drive. Explain how long that house was in the system, so to speak, of code enforcement.
Yeah, that house, as far as I know, it's been in probably 6 years, Mayor. And the sad part about it, it's a very slow process as far as these banks go. This house still isn't in foreclosure. We've been working on it diligently to get this house demoed. And this is one of those properties where I say some of the preservation companies are good and some aren't so good. So, we've been on them. They've been issued summonses. We've had them in court. So now it's time for them to step up what they have to do, or, you know, this house is coming down.
And the, you know how many months it took before the property maintenance board could get to that decision in order to okay the demolition?
This one here probably took three or four meetings, Mayor. A couple of times there was different attorneys just showed up for the meetings. And then a lot of times, I'll be very honest with you, the banks are a little slow in doing things. What we've been noticing also is some of these properties that do have list pendants against them, once we start sending violations to them, all of a sudden the list pendants backs off. And that's because the banks do not want to be responsible. They don't want to have to start putting new roofs on these houses, gable vents, painting the house, new windows, and things of that nature. But now with the new ordinance that we have, you know, we have to register your property. Now we have a go-to person that's linked with these properties. If they do not register this property, they open themselves to a $2,500 summons to start. Once that happens, then we, of course, we do our inspections on this property. And any violations that there are, we will send summons for. And our summonses are, you know, per day summonses. If it's $100, it's going to be $100 per day per violation. Normally, it's a lot more than that, though, Mayor.
Yep, I got you. Okay, so the abandoned properties ordinance, we just passed that probably about a year ago.
About a year ago, yes.
And that requires any home that's abandoned. I'm sorry. If anybody out there listening is aware of a home that they think is abandoned, they should call the building department.
Yes.
And to make sure that that home's on the list.
Right.
Again, we don't, you know, even though a lot of us drive the roads all the time and you just kind of don't notice it as much as if you're living next door to it or
right.
Across the street from it, you're going to notice it right away.
Yeah.
Please call us. Let us make sure that that home is on that list, because if it's not on the abandoned properties list, it'll actually never become
right.
come before the property maintenance board.
Right.
It'll never be fined. And then what happens is with those abandoned properties, there's mortgages on them, and those banks, they don't want to lose those properties.
Right.
So those banks are actually still paying property
right.
taxes, but then they're not taking care of it. So now we have this ordinance where now the banks have to register and say, Bob Smith is taking care of it, or John Jones is taking
right.
care of it. So we have an actual person, and that's the person who actually gets the summonses or the violation notices and then the summonses
right.
if it's not taken care of. And we have an actual person that's here in court before the judge,
mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times what the banks were doing is they were, a lot of the summonses, and I know this from working in another town, the summonses were written out to Bank of America, and then Bank of America is not showing up to court, and the judge can't do anything about it. It can't do a warrant against Bank of America or suspend the license of Bank
right.
of America or anything like that. So
right.
I really like the way we do it here in Brick, where we have a person's name, because that person, they volunteer
yeah.
To be held responsible, and we here in Brick hold them responsible for whatever violations that the property has.
Yeah. We're kind of glad that you said that, too. It kind of helps us out and, you know, narrowing it down. It's a lot of work finding out. When we take these properties to even the property maintenance board, you know, we do title searches, anybody that's linked to this property. So it's a lot of legwork, you know. We have a good crew of people that are involved in this. But like I said, it helps us out. And I'll tell you, Mayor, every day as you ride around, you find another house that might be abandoned. And the way you find that is, you know, when the grass is 2 feet tall and you're sending notices and they're coming back, and then you get out of the car and you check and you see that the electric's been turned off and the gas and there's no water, well, then you assume that that house is abandoned. The first thing we always do is we check with the clerk's office. As you were saying, these properties are supposed to be registered with the town as an abandoned property or vacant property. And if they're not, then we start our process, Mayor. Like I said, there's a lot out there, and we're doing whatever we can to get this problem corrected. And we're glad that administration's on board with us, helping us out with this process.
Okay, looks like we have another phone call. We have a Mark.
He's calling back.
Okay. And Mark, are you there?
Maybe.
Mayor.
Mark, are you there? Oops,
yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes,
hello?
I can now. Sorry about that. That was my mistake. Yes.
It may be my fault. I'm in the basement. Mr. Mayor, this is Mark Jenks in Beverly Beach. I want to thank you for taking action on the house next door to me that's abandoned. You and the relevant employees in the township have worked hard, and I know it's been a struggle. But I want you to know that we really appreciate what you're doing.
And I can tell you that when they demo that house, this neighborhood is having a party.
Okay.
Hope we're invited.
Yeah, I remember
years ago,
the casino next to Bally's was being imploded. I don't remember the name of the casino, but Bally's had a big party where everybody went up on the roof and they watched the implosion next door. So I guess that's what the neighborhood will be doing up in South Beverly as they watch that house finally come down. So
absolutely. Absolutely. I kind of hope they do it in the... Oh, certainly. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Right. Yeah, Mark, this is Robert Stefanelli. I've met you out there quite a few times at this property. And you know what? We're glad we finally got to the point where this house is coming down. And we understand. Believe me, these people have been through a lot over there with that property. And like I said, we definitely understand. I went inside that property. And when I went in there, of course, I had to put on a tie-back suit and a mask and everything. So we do understand your concerns. And we'll be there with you that day when you have that party.
Great, Robert. Thank you so much for all your help.
You're welcome, Mark. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate it.
You guys
thank
take
you, everybody.
Care
thank you.
Great. Have a good night. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in tonight. Thank you for the calls that we had. And thank you, Robert, for joining me here
You're
tonight.
You're welcome, Mayor. I appreciate you having me here. Thank you.
Hopefully everybody enjoyed it and got a lot of information about the Code Enforcement Department. Again, if anybody has any ideas for any topics you want to hear from in the future, please call us and let us know. Thank you very much, and have a good night.
Thank you, Mayor.